This is Scenic Roots. Usually on Friday afternoon, we have a session recorded in the library, but today we have a show recorded at Barking Legs and streamed on their Facebook page this past Monday, July 27th, featuring the singer and songwriter Sherry Cawthron. Until the end of last month, Sherry was the pastor at St. Mark's Church in North Chattanooga. Her tenure as their pastor has now ended, and Sherry is blending the work she has been doing with the poor and homeless for more than a decade with her performance skills. She's been writing new songs and plans to begin touring again soon. In the meantime, she has also started a new non-profit organization to help women on the poverty line in Chattanooga develop the skills to help them out of poverty. Called Beloved Woman, it will help young women, especially young single mothers, develop the skills necessary to run a small business and will give them microloans to help them get started. This concert is a fundraiser for the organization. We talked about the organization and Sherry's plans on the phone. That conversation will be coming up about halfway through the show.
Legs, so glad you're here for This Love. I'm going to start off with a song called This Love. It's my title track, and this is actually poetry from one of the most popular poets in America, Rumi, and it's just taken straight from one of his poems, and he's just talking about divine love, and there's a beautiful line in there called, "Take in the sunset like supper." So I hope you enjoy some of these spectacular sunsets we've been having lately.
Those who don't feel this love, moving them like a river, those who don't drink the dawn, like a cup of pure spring water, taking the sunset like supper, this love is beyond. That old trickery, hypocrisy, this love. If you want to improve your mind that way, sleep on. Come with me and drink the dawn. Yeah. Brain, torn the clock to shreds, yeah, thrown it away. If you're not completely naked, just wrap your beautiful robe of words around you and sleep on, 'cause this love, that old trickery, hypocrisy, this love. You wanna improve your mind that way, sleep on. Oh, sleep on. Come with me and drink the dawn.
I have some friends in the house, and I think there's a ghost over there, so making some noise. But love this theater, love Barking Legs, local theater. Really happy to be here and grateful for Marcus for letting me use the space tonight. It's just a really special space. And if you haven't seen a show here, come and check it out when COVID lifts. So we're going from Rumi to Old Testament. Let's see, it's probably about 13, 14, 15 centuries in between, maybe. I have a whole CD about songs from women of the Old Testament that, stories that are somewhat lost, and started reading a scholar not too long ago by the name of Will Gaffney, and she had found these women who were on the wilderness journey in Exodus, and they were warriors, and they were guarding the entrances to the sacred tent of meeting. And so I thought, oh, that's a beautiful story. So I wrote a song about them. This is called The Song the Women Warriors Sing.
The wind howls from the distance of the longest night. The wolf cries from the darkness of the wildest sight. She stands guard at the doorway of light. She carries a mirror fastened to her sight to signal a warning or to prophesy. She looks into it to see heaven's eye. She says love needs a carriage of bronze and gold with angels to guard it from days of old. Oh, it's been here forever. We've just been told to make a home in the cold for love. Now when the spirit comes, it's frightening thing. You must know the passage through the fiery dream. It's in the song the woman warriors sing. Oh, maybe you've heard it in the singer's voice. In nature's course, unknown in your heart's own choice. The love needs a carriage of bronze and gold with angels to guard it from days of old. It's been here forever. We've just been told to make a home in the cold for
Thank you. So you'll notice a lot of my songs tonight are love themed and different kinds of love, different stories of love. And I'm going to do one of my favorite Bonnie Raitt songs. This is called Love Has No Pride. 2, 3, 4, and I've had bad dreams too many times. think that they don't mean much anymore. Fine times have come, left my at home. Friends who once cared just walked out my door. Love has no pride when I call out your name. Love has no pride. There's no one left to blame or give anything to see. That you could come back again, and I've heard you talk. She's crazy to say, but this love hurts me so. I don't care what you say. Love no pride when I call out your name. Love has no pride when there's no one left to blame. Oh, I'd give anything to see you again. If I could buy your love, I'd truly try, my friend. And if I could pray, my prayer would never end. Oh, if you want me to beg, I'll fall down. Asking for you to come back, I'd be pleading for you to come back. Begging for you to come back to me again. Love has no pride when I call out your name. Love has there's no one left to blame. Oh, I give anything to see you again. Yes, I give anything to see you again. This is a love song, another song by Rumi. I have three songs on my CD, Kiss the Ground, that really highlight his poetry. And I think that we all have those moments, especially now when there's so much arguing going on in our culture. And some of these arguments are good, you know, they're getting us somewhere. But we all seem to disagree about what's right and what's wrong. And Rumi has this line that's a really famous line. You've probably heard it. There is a field out beyond wrongdoing and rightdoing. I'll meet you there. And I have a mentor that says, I would never let someone's beliefs get in the way of a good friendship. And I think that that's kind of the tone of what the song is about. It's called The Field, and it really speaks of a place where we can come together and find what we have in common, and we find that we have so much more in common that we do different. So it's called The Field.
itself with the moon. Be there away with me. Be the rose nearest to the thorn that I am. I want to feel myself in you. My love, there is a field out beyond the rain. I'll meet you there anytime. To walk along these streets, oh, without you. I don't know where I'm going. You're the road, you're the maker of roads, more than love. My
Sherry Catherine playing a show streamed on the Barking Legs Facebook page this past Monday. The show is a benefit for Beloved Woman, the organization Sherry started at the beginning of the year to help young women, single mothers particularly, work their way out of poverty. After she conceived of the idea, she contacted another nonprofit in Chattanooga for advice on how to go about organizing it.
There is a wonderful nonprofit here in Chattanooga called Causeway. They exist to help people develop their cause or their nonprofit into a fully operational 501c3. And it's just an excellent program, and they walk you through a 9-week setup cycle, kind of like you go for 3 hours a week and you work with a cohort. So you have colleagues that are, you know, working with their own nonprofits. And by the end of that period, you basically have all of the resources that you need and to get set up. And so I went through that, and it was just a wonderful program. At the end of that, I had some amazing women that wanted to be on my board and be a part of it. And they're just wonderful movers and shakers themselves. And really believed in it, and so we all came together, and I have acted as the founder or the president, sort of spearheading it all, but they've been with me every step of the way, and we created basically the infrastructure, and then we launched it really officially launched it at the end of this month. July 27th was kind of our first event. And because of COVID, of course, we have a lot of limitations. Normally, I would be out there, you know, giving presentations and recruiting women on site to be part of the program. But we're having to do things a little differently because of COVID, and we're getting creative with our presentations. But we're working with other nonprofits in the Chattanooga area that work in communities that suffer from, you know, lack of affordable housing, issues of poverty, generational poverty. And we're working with them to help us identify women in these areas that would want to be a part of our program. And we're only working with small groups of women because this is starting out small. We're probably going to be working with only 30 women this year. But our goal is to walk beside a woman who is living at poverty level or below, particularly single mothers, who dream or have a small business idea in mind, and just help her take the steps that she needs to create this and develop this. And we realize it takes 2 to 3 to 5 years to successfully launch something. So we're going to be walking with her for a while. We have a 12-week startup, and then after that, there is basically as long as she wants to participate in a small group. There's a once-a-week small group meeting, and those meetings help her therapeutically, but also help her to get more education and training for the field that she's chosen. And each woman is also paired with a female mentor who is a businesswoman in Chattanooga to help her on her journey. So that's basically our program.
While the pandemic impacted you as it has impacted everybody, at the same time, it's kind of hard to imagine a better time to start a program like yours than now, when people who are right on the edge in terms of survival economically, spiritually too, I imagine, they are the ones most impacted by all this.
Yes, I was on a Zoom call with Glasshouse Collective. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you're familiar with that
group.
Yeah. They work specifically in the Glass Street and sort of that neighborhood in Chattanooga, and try to really work with people in those neighborhoods to help them. I was on a call with them, and they were saying, you know, this is really the perfect time to launch something like this, because we are all going to be rebuilding our economy when we come out of COVID. We are going to need creative approaches to rebuilding our economy. You know, I also think that, you know, small businesses, always the heart of community, and small businesses are being incredibly hurt and impacted by COVID-19. And so if this program hopefully injects some energy and some creativity into that, as we all kind of come together and come out of this with hopefully new ideas and creative energy and, you know, just positivity that we can rebuild together, you know.
I do. And in some ways, it strikes me again as the ideal time to be doing what you're doing, because the small businesses that were already operating to the degree that any small businesses established were established, they are the ones that are going to have the hardest time in this period, because everything is just so much more complicated, bringing people to the business or taking the products that you create to people. Whereas starting a small business now, by the time the people you're working with are ready to start marketing whatever it is they're creating, the economy might well be coming back, and it'll be, I think, at a very fertile time for people to be starting a business, because there'll be all this pent-up desire just to talk to other people, nothing else.
I know. I'm hoping it'll be an optimistic time. I mean, we are hoping, of course, that, you know, we'll have a vaccine by early 2021. And mm-hmm. Our initial group will be coming out of our program and getting ready to launch sometime around the early summer, late spring 2021. So hopefully that will be the perfect time. That's what we're hoping for anyway.
Yes, yeah, me too for you, because I think that does seem like ideal timing. How are you going to identify the 30 people who will be part of your initial program?
We have an application process, and women initially just basically give us a narrative of a very short narrative, very short story. They give us their story, basically, because a beautiful part of this program is they're able to apply for a microloan at the end of this launch period if they choose. Lending in our country is, it can be a sort of exclusive and predatory practice because we don't see people's stories as collateral. You know, we want them to bring credit or, you know, credit history or property or something as collateral. And people get stuck in systemic and generational poverty because they're not able to create those stories. They don't have the resources to create a credit story or a credit history. And so this program really looks at people's stories as collateral. And so we're asking for the woman to tell us just a little story about why she would want to be part of our program and maybe a few ideas of what she would like to accomplish and what her dream is. And then we're asking the woman just to fill out a brief application. We don't have a lot of requirements for the program other than sobriety and willingness to either apply for a GED or have a GED. Either being in a GED program or having a GED is one requirement. And the other would be sobriety, either being sober for 6 months and or being in a 12-step program for sobriety. So those are the requirements. And, of course, being over 18 is also a requirement.
Well, there's certainly a large population of people that fit at least the age and the gender requirement. I think the statistic I saw was something like 20% of the population here. Is that true?
Yes. Well, if you go back to about 2012, 2013, there was a really big interest by the media in poverty in Chattanooga because Chattanooga was being touted at that time as this amazing city, you know, that was growing and cleaning up and, you know, having an artsy entrepreneurial appeal. That's wonderful. I mean, that's what we really love about our city, right? Mm-hmm. It's an amazing city, and that's sort of becoming more and more widely known as more people are moving here. But the flip side of that was media organizations like NPR and the New York Times, and Maria Shriver actually came here during that time and did a wonderful special interest story on poverty and generational poverty, particularly with women. And what they found at that time was that Chattanooga had a poverty rate of 27%, that the poverty in Chattanooga had grown at twice the national average. And so, you know, this was shocking at that time. It's gotten better since then, at least statistically. I think now they report that it's 20.7% poverty rate. But if you do the math with our population, and they say that 2/3 of that are women who are heads of households, if you do the math, you know, then you're looking at thousands of women who are struggling to exist in our city, you know, and raise our future leaders. So we need to step up to the plate, you know, and we are not a huge city, so we have the capacity to create change in our city. We can see change happen a little bit more quickly, you know, than a larger, much larger metropolitan area. And we have the resources to create this change, too. And it's something that I've been passionate about, you know, probably for 12 years, ever since I graduated seminary. You know, I wanted to do this kind of community development and really impact poverty through economic development. But, you know, the stars had not aligned until I moved to Chattanooga, and it just seemed like the place and the time to do this. Because, as you know, I've always worked with communities that really struggle with issues of poverty and hunger and homelessness and that kind of thing. I've always seen that this kind of program could really benefit particularly women who already have these amazing survival skills. If only they had access to community and resources, that they would be able to move forward and, you know, move themselves out of poverty. But what's always been lacking are just having a woman to be surrounded by a community of encouragement and support, not just for 12 weeks, you know, but for however long it takes her to be successful.
Give a man a fish, teach a man a fish kind of thing, right? But I think your point is well taken, and it's perhaps the aspect of wealth generation. Okay, so this seems to me that there's several aspects to wealth generation. Frequently, it's intergenerational. So the children benefit from their parents' and their grandparents' accumulation of property and capital. But at the same time, I think it's equally true, as you say, that nobody does anything by themselves. Everybody who is successful is successful because they have been surrounded by people who've been supporting them, helping them, guiding them, doing everything they can to help them find their feet, which isn't easy for anybody. What do you have in mind as, you know, potential kinds of businesses that you think women who are, you know, right at the poverty line could start successfully?
Well, if you think about it, it's really simple businesses like house cleaning, elder care, catering, landscaping. You know, I'm thinking the business of sanitizing is going to be a huge business coming up. All kinds of things, you know, even becoming a hairstylist or, you know, becoming a manicurist or a pedicurist. I mean, these things can seem really simple if you have access to education and if you have access to resources and you have people encouraging you and telling you you can. But they can also seem like pipe dreams if you're just having a sort of hand-to-mouth existence, you know? So we want to help a woman if she has an idea. And what we find a lot of times is a lot of women already have some kind of a side hustle going on. You know, they may be catering on the side, or, you know, they may be cutting hair on the side, or, you know, cleaning houses on the side, or keeping children on the side, or, you know, taking care of the elderly on the side. So, but they're not able to have that little bit of resource, like a microloan or training or a community surrounding them or mentoring to help them kind of take that into the next level. And so that's what we want to do. We want to say, hey, you've had the resources to get this far. We want to help you take this to the next level and let us help you figure that out. And it's really exciting. I have the 12-week feasibility study that we do. It was actually designed for women in third world countries. And so it's designed for women who don't even read. And these women have proven over and over and over again, I think the payback rate for these microloans is something like 95%. So they've proven over and over that they can learn the necessary skills they need to learn to get ahead and to be self-sustaining if they're given the opportunity and given the framework and the structure. And so this feasibility study uses a lot of group interaction. It uses stories. It even uses music. So it's kind of like right up my alley to help women determine if their business idea is feasible. And it takes them through very basic business models. And they go out and test their business model as part of the curriculum. And the cool thing about having community is that, as you know, it takes networks to be successful. And we give women access to networks in their field through pairing them with a mentor in their field, but also building our community of volunteers, sponsors, and mentors. And this larger community then becomes a support network for this woman as she's trying to, you know, make a new start.
A lot of aspects of life that many of us, particularly in the middle class, tend to take for granted. The notion of networking, for one, it's very difficult to network if you're on the outside of the community.
Right.
And people who have been born into families where there's been poverty for more than a couple of generations, they don't have any kind of network at all. And on top of that, they don't have any real they don't have a foothold, do they? And that seems to me that's what you're offering, is a foothold.
Yeah, and you know, we do this with education. Of course, education is a wonderful pathway to networks and resources, right? And that's an amazing pathway, but not everyone can take that pathway. I would hope that, you know, as a woman gets sort of on her own two feet, if she wants to get education, that would be a possibility for her. And certainly if women come into our program and decide that's a pathway they want to take, then we'll help them take that. But, you know, not every woman wants to go to college and have a huge student loan debt on her hands. Trade school is awesome. A lot of people go into trade and they end up making a lot more money than college grads, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's something, you know, that we're saying too, is like, this is still a very honorable way to do your life. You know, school is wonderful and education is wonderful, and we hope everyone will get as much education as they desire and need, but it's not a possibility for everyone.
Aside from anything else, what you're talking about is time. A person who is responsible for another little being who is almost completely dependent on her doesn't have any time at all.
If a woman comes into our training program, we do offer childcare, you know, while she's in our program, so she can focus on the program itself.
The best place to find details on Sherry Cothran's initiative, Beloved Woman, is her Facebook page, Beloved Woman Chattanooga.
You may know that I'm a ordained United Methodist minister, and for the past decade, I had spent a good deal of time as pastor on this place I called the front lines of heaven and earth, and I wrote a book about it called Tending Angels. And I also wrote a song about my experience there, and I often would have these moments where I would often feel as if, as scripture says, I might be tending angels unaware, particularly when I was working with people who suffered from homelessness. I remember one time in particular, people were always, you know, angry when they came in to have dinner because they were hungry, and they were very hangry. And so often I would have to, you know, break up some little fights here and there. And more than one time, one of our clients, one of our people who suffered from homelessness would come up and say to me, we're not going to let anything happen to you. We're watching over you. And it was in these moments that I began to see the sacred face of homelessness. But this is the song. And you can actually pick up the book on my website, but I'm going to be offering it tonight as part of our fundraising for Beloved Woman. You can go to belovedwoman.org, and I'm going to have it up for like 48 hours. You can get the book and the CD for a donation for the next 48 hours. So be sure and take advantage of that. This is called Tending Angels.
Asleep again on your cardboard bed, on church sidewalk, sleeping off drunk again. Good morning, you say. Sleep of the day, I swear we are tending angels, we are tending angels, completely. Thank you. at you with my open hand, my brother astray. I swear we are tending angels. We are tending. Keeping watch over me. Yeah, I believe you said you would never let anyone harm a hair on my head.
There's a beautiful love poem hidden in the Bible. It's called Song of Songs, and some of the most beautiful love poetry around, and this is a song that's taken directly from the text, and it's called 10,000 Charms.
I will rise and wander the streets, looking for the one my soul loves. Have you seen him, dark as a raven, with eyes as soft as doves? With eyes as soft as doves. Let me kiss the kiss of his mouth till the shadows flee. Winter's over, the rain is gone. Now is the time to sing. Now is the time to sing.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. I'm going to close with this song by the Talking Heads. One of my favorite songs, lyrically, I think, of all time, because I know that there are certain people and places in my life that make me feel like I'm home. And when I met my husband, I felt that way. I just felt this sense of home. And when I came to Chattanooga, I felt that way too. And we're just stuck at home right now, so you might as well enjoy it. But this is my version, which is kind of like also a Sean Colvin version of this song. There we go. 2, 3, 4. Home is where I want to be. Pick me up, turn me around. I feel numb. I was born with a weak heart. I guess I must be having fun. The less we say about it, the better. Let's make it up as we go along. Feet on the ground, head in the sky. I'm okay, I know nothing's wrong. I got plenty of time. Ooh, yeah. I got light in your eyes. And you're still of time, never for money, always for love. Come up and say goodnight, say goodnight. Oh, home is where I would be, but I guess I'm already there. Come home. He lifted up his wing. Well, I guess this must be the place. 'Cause I can tell one from the other. Did I find you or did you find me? There was a time before we were born. Someone asked, this is where I'll be. Oh, we drift in and out. Oh, yeah. I sing into my mouth. 'Cause out of all the you got a face with a view. You got eyes that light up, eyes that look through. Cover up the blind spots. Hit me on the head. Oh, that's where I would be, but I guess I'm already there. Come home, you lifted up your wings. Well, I guess this must be a place. Yes, I guess this must be the place.
Sherry Cawthron from a benefit concert streamed on the Barking Legs Facebook page with the organisation she started to help young single mothers out of poverty, Beloved Woman. Details about the initiative are on their Facebook page, Beloved Woman. Sherry Cawthron has a new album coming in September, These two songs are from her last album, Kiss the Ground. The first one, appropriately, is Tending Angels. This is Scenic Roots on listener-supported WUTC.